You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The stamp, the kick, it's been blocked again! How my! It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland, how my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball over the middle.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
And Dan.
Beautiful, beautiful Monday evening. Summertime. Vibes is flowing. Just me and you, Dan.
Just me and you today. Jordan might be joining us a little bit later. And then Nick should be back next week. So how's your weekend, man?
Splendid, man. First weekend of the summer. Just got a whole lot of working out and just a whole lot of hanging out, bro. Went by the beach, did some walking around just to get some meditation and soak in some of that sea breeze. But not a whole lot, bro. Bass fishing with Harlem trying to teach me how to get some peacock and whatnot. Yep. So we did got some bass fishing there, but just we peak summer at the beginning of the summer, bro. How about yourself?
It's going to be a peacock summer for you.
Bro, I'm going to need some sunblock.
I saw Harlan was putting up some big weight on the squat rack too. So that's awesome. That's got to be an awesome bonding experience for you and Harlan, man. I spent the weekend in Iowa. So a company I work for right out of college is based in Iowa City, Iowa. We traveled a lot. We did like a former staff reunion. Our executive director, managing director at the company I used to work for, is getting older. He's in his like mid-70s now. So we went up there to see him and then just walked around. We got hooked up with a tour of Kinnick Stadium. That's where the University of Iowa plays. So we got a backstage tour, I guess, of the football field, the locker room. They paint the visitor locker room pink, so we got to see that. That was pretty cool.
That was dope.
But they were on a recruiting visit, so saw some of those guys, went up to the press box. It was a really cool experience. I have a lot of fond memories up in Iowa. There's not a lot of people that have been to Iowa City, but it is a really cool college town. It was good. A lot of memories to rekindle when we were back up there and seeing some guys that I haven't seen in 12, 13 years since I left that company was cool. So always good to be back. Not the easiest place to get to, Iowa City, but great weekend. Good to be back and good to be back here in beautiful Tampa.
What is the food culture like in Iowa? That'd be my thing. My thing in traveling, I like to absorb the food culture and take that in. What's the food culture like in Iowa?
It's a college town, so they cater to everybody. They're very well known actually for their Mexican food. I'm not gonna give
I was thinking
you
like a, potatoes.
Yeah. They grow a lot of corn and soy there in Iowa. Other parts of Iowa are probably what you would think of, like you kind of bigger meals, more like Southern, style home cooking, that kind of stuff. Obviously it's not the South, but outside of Iowa City and kind of that area, you get more of that. They really cater to everybody there, but they're definitely known for Mexican food there. A lot of street food. They have a lot of vendors. They have a pedestrian mall. It's called the Ped Mall. The very creative name. And so that's where all your bars, restaurants are, right across the street from campus in the old Capitol building there. So there is a suburb of Iowa City called Coralville. And that's where all of your chain restaurants and everything are right next to it. But Iowa City, I mean, it's a very compact version of Gainesville. I think at one point in time, don't know if this is still true, they had the most bars per capita of any city in America. They drink a lot. That's where they get their calories, Corey.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Empty calories, but you got, I mean, they all count.
Yeah. They all
New Orleans, man, had like, a crazy amount of bars when I went to New Orleans a couple of times. That ratio is crazy there as well. But all right, good stuff.
Yeah, good to go. Yeah, I know you guys didn't come to listen to my talk about Iowa City, but really great experience. Good to be back. We have a big show today. Carlin Hartman, one of the Gators' assistant basketball coaches, is going to join us in about 5 minutes or so. We had a big recruiting weekend for the Florida Gators football team, so we're going to break that down a little bit. And then a couple of other big pieces of information. We'll probably get right into that president search right after we do this ad read. But let's give a shout-out to Brunt Insurance. Corey?
Stadium Miguel is powered by the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, and I mean absolutely anything but health, my man Greg can take care of you. Auto insurance, home insurance, if you have a motorcycle, RV, boat, all of that can be taken care of, man. Other financial services as well. He take care of everybody in the Southeast, but most importantly, from the Panhandle to the Keys, it don't cost you a dime to find out if you can save some money. Visit bruntinsurance.com or give Greg a call at 954-589-2204. Big coverage, big policies. Support Gators, man. This is all Gator-owned businesses. Tap in with us. Greg, what it do, baby?
All right, let's, before we get into Dr. Santa Ono and the Gators president search, we do want to highlight the Independent Gator Media Day. It's presented by the Sachs Law Group, so we appreciate their support. This is going to be an event with us, Stadium Miguel, High Top Sports, and Gators Breakdown. We are going to have a few other contributors that are there with some, maybe some smaller platforms, or they're growing as well. So we're super excited to welcome them and the Murky Waters podcast. I know that they're one of the groups that are going to be joining. We're going to have a lot. Tickets are going to be $25. You can find that on our Twitter, our X page. You can find it on High Top Sports Gators Breakdown as well. The link will say posh.vip, I believe, and then after that. So we'll drop that in the show notes as well. But we'd love to have you. It's going to be $25. There will be a drink covered in that. We're going to have some food. There are some food trucks that'll be there as well. So we look forward to having you, some former Gator players, some current Gator players, maybe some Gator legends, and some other media personnel will be there as well. But we're looking forward to having you again. That's going to be at First Magnitude Brewing in Gainesville on July 27th from 1 p.m. until 4 p.m.
This is Niagara One, man. Make sure y'all show up, hang out. But we're going to do this thing annually. This is also the home of Steve Spurrier Beers, where it's brewed at, right? So pull up and absorb all of the festivities, the media, the entertainment. We'll announce the players that are going to arrive to this once we find out who's actually going to the media day for SEC, day for the team. We'll announce some players and some other media platforms. I know Stephen Harris is going to pull up, and some other Gators as well. But, you know, pull up, catch it in person. It's a different vibe. Support your favorite podcast, whichever one of the three it may be. But you guys are watching this one, so it's probably this one.
Yeah, we just dropped the chat in the link if you're watching on Twitter or X. So if you're listening online, jot this down. Pause the episode. It's going to be posh.vip/e/e. There's hyphens between each word, so I'm not going to read the hyphens, but it's going to be the inaugural Independent Gator Media Day. So go check that out. We'd love to have you. Love to meet you. Enjoy Gainesville in July. So again, that's the Independent Gator Media Day with us, High Top Sports Gators Breakdown, on July 27th at First Magnitude Brewing. With that, he's in the green room now, so we're not going to keep him waiting any longer. A guy that was a former All Big Eight honorees, coached at Oklahoma, Vanderbilt, UNLV, and is currently an assistant coach for the Florida Gators National Championship basketball team, Carlin Hartman. We welcome you to the show, my friend. Thanks so much for joining.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely, man. It's been a pleasure to get to know you over the last few days. We had Jonathan Safir last week, and he was kind enough to make the introduction. So thanks so much for coming on, Carlin. It's been, 7 weeks since you guys won the national championship. I know you guys have been all over the country. You guys have had a packed schedule recruiting, everything else after that. But what's been going through your mind these last 7 weeks?
Well, we got right into re-recruiting the roster to make sure we had a good team again for 25-26. So we did that. We also made sure we followed our guys around, you know, the NBA draft process, Thomas Houck, Alex Condon, the guys we really wanted back, obviously Ruben Chinyelo, but also supporting Walter Clayton, Elijah Martin, and Will Richard along their journeys as well. So it's been great, you know, just enjoying, everything that comes with, I guess, winning a national championship. You know, we went to the Wingfoot Dinner in New York by the New York Athletic Club. We were presented with – Coach Golden was presented with an award there, and then obviously the White House. So it's been a pretty fun offseason.
Has it started to set in yet, or you just been too busy to really kind of bask in what's been the last 7 weeks?
You know, what's funny is when I got back in office last week, we had a little bit of downtime. I think that's when it kind of started to settle in after all the chaos of, you know, again, getting the roster right. Finally got a chance to kind of look back, and I had a whole bunch of stuff at home that I want to, you know, try to figure out where I'm going to put articles, pictures, and all these things. And as I'm kind of going through it, I'm like, man, we really did that, you know? And so that's when it really kind of started to settle in, looking back on the memories of what just happened 7-8 weeks ago.
You know, it's interesting. I had the chance to meet with Todd Golden before the season started. He spoke at the Sarasota Gator Club, and we chatted for a while. And, you know, I don't think his expectations necessarily going into this season were that you guys were going to, you know, win a national championship. I think he thought that you guys might be, you know, and expected to get to the second weekend, you know, maybe it'd be a 3 or 4 seed. You know, there are some questions, you know, he wasn't sure. At what point did you know, hey, we might have a team that can go all the way?
I thought we had a couple instances in my mind where I thought, man, you know, we're pretty daggone good. The first one was beating Tennessee at home as soundly as what we did. Pretty unprecedented to be the number one, whether it be home or road like that. I thought we were pretty good at that point. And then, you know, people were looking at the Auburn game, and that was obviously a benchmark, you know, beating number one on the road in their facility. But it was really the Mississippi State game after Auburn, I thought, was when I was like, man, you know what? We got a lot of pieces here, and we are, you know, deep, and we're tough, and we're still talented, even when we're down some bodies. Because if you remember in that game, Alex Condon essentially missed the whole game because he got hurt on the first offensive possession. Mm-hmm. Elijah Martin didn't play. He was already ruled out. So we go into it, and, you know, and once Alex goes down, Thomas comes up, and, you know, he's obviously a starter-level player, so we didn't miss a beat there. Denzel Aberdeen was in a really good groove, as was Walt. Ruben was great that night. Everybody played their roles. And I thought to myself, you know, if we can stay healthy with the depth of this team, you know, we could, you know, beat anybody. And sure enough, we only lost one more game after that Mississippi State game, ended up going on a huge run.
Did your experience as a player that played in the tournament and pulled off a couple upsets yourself, did that experience help you with coaching the players and mentoring them throughout this run?
You know, I guess yes and no. I think every experience that you have throughout life, you know, kind of prepares you for something like this. So I would say yes. The other part of it, too, is, you know, I've been doing it for such a long time. And those tournaments I played in were back in the early 90s. So not a lot of people would remember us beating St. John's in 1992 or Kansas State in 93, and me as a player at that time. But what I did take from it was, you know, my experience of being at Oklahoma, you know, winning games in the tournament with the Sooners, but also looking down the bench at Torian Green as somebody who has, you know, been able to do it, you know, at the highest of high levels as a player, you know, for so long, you know, here at Florida. And just knowing that, you know, we had somebody who's been to the second weekend, the third weekend, and won the whole thing, you know, because there's layers to this thing. Like, quite frankly, I had only been past the first round. Actually, I had never been past the first round. I had been to the second round twice as a player and 4 other times as a coach. So, you know, when we got through UConn and we're getting ready to play in San Francisco, that was all a new experience to me. You know, so you really realize the importance of, you know, how important Victor Lopez, our strength and conditioning coach, you know, has been to us. The importance of, you know, hydration, you know, for these guys, the importance of eating correctly, the importance of recovery after games. And, you know, credit to not just our guys for, you know, being able to, you know, go through that and put their bodies through, you know, the ultimate test, but also to the support staff and the people that we've had around us on a daily basis.
I know you want to win absolutely every basketball game, right? And you never want to, like, just kind of count your chickens before they hatch a little bit. But heading into the SEC tournament, and I know we were battling health all year, Are you going into that tournament game, into that SEC tournament thinking this is not a must-win tournament and we could probably, you know, take our foot off the gas a little bit?
You know, nah, because, I mean, like you said, you want to win every game. You know, we and at that point, we had clinched the top four seed. So we knew that, you know, we only had three games to play. Versus the year before, we weren't a top four seed and we had four games. And that one extra game is a lot. So we thought, you know, we had enough in the tank. You know, we had some opportunities. If we saw the opponents that we were able to see, two of those four we had already lost to, so we had built-in motivation in beating Missouri that first game, playing a tough Alabama team who we played really well against over the last couple years, and then having that rematch with Tennessee. You know, we thumped them pretty good at our place. They thumped us really good at their place. Quite frankly, I don't think their players like our players very much, and that's just kind of what rivalries are. So we knew that, you know, if we had gotten the matchups that we wanted, that we felt pretty comfortable that we can go in and win that thing.
Colin, when you got hired, you know, a lot of Gator fans were excited. You've consistently been ranked as one of the top, you know, assistant coaches in college basketball, and widely considered one of the top player development coaches in the country. What is your personal secrets or your coaching style that gets so much out of players to develop them so well?
Well, number one, I think the fact that I did it when I played at Tulane and I was able to carve out a, you know, Hall of Fame career there, and I played, you know, a little bit professionally. But, you know, I've been in it for so long. Confidence and just knowing that I know how to articulate the message from what our head coach wants to what we want to do on the floor. And then, you know what? Honestly, Dan, transparency. I was always honest with the guys. I was always real with the guys. I keep it a buck, keep it 100, you know, whatever all these kids like to say. It just is what it is. Like, you know, in a day in which, you know, most of these kids make, you know, so much more than what us as coaches make, I don't care. It doesn't matter what you make. It just matters about how you are going to perform when we get between those lines and when we practice. And I got the best front court in the country. I had the best front court in the country last year. I'm going to have the best front court in the country this year. And they are outstanding in so many different ways. But the biggest reason why they're great is because they're coachable. They're selfless. They have great attitudes. They're great workers. They love Florida. They love each other. And, yeah, you know, I saw the article when Alex Connan decided that he was going to come back, and he mentioned my name in that. And I really appreciate that, and it means a lot, you know, but I don't think if I didn't have a good relationship with Alex off the floor as I do on the floor, I don't think it would, you know, be as sincere as what it is with he and I, just like it is with Thomas Houck, just like it is with Micah Hanlockton, Ruben Chinyelo, Victor Mekid, Sam Alexis, these guys that I've had over the years, Tyrese Samuel, Colin Castleton, you know, like, you got to build a bond. You got to build a relationship, and you got to have them trust you and trust that you're not bullshitting them and telling them the real, and then they'll give you everything they got.
How do you guys – this is like – I've been wondering, especially after this, because you guys were put under a short window with the transfer portal. So after you win a national championship, you still got to retool the roster a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I know in the recruiting world, it takes a little relationship building and trust building to get that kid. What is the recruiting process like and relationship building like in such a short window of trying to get a kid in the transfer portal?
A lot of stuff is done so far in advance, you know, in this new world, you almost have to. Because your point, Corey, it's like speed dating, right?
Right.
I mean, you're essentially like, you got a window that you have to stick with. You got to get to know these kids. You got to get to know, you know, the people that have been around them, you know, in a short amount of time. And quite honestly, like, we just have the best coach in America to deal with this climate in Todd Golden. What he's been able to do over these last few years, retooling the roster in year two to get us to the tournament, and then obviously to win that thing last year has been nothing short of just – you know, genius. Him, Jonathan Safir, who also runs our, you know, he's essentially our GM, assistant coach and GM. you know, those two guys have been just, you know, remarkable when it comes to identifying the right pieces. Like, you can go out and there's a lot of programs out there that have resources like we have and have the money that we have, but, and they're building these super teams on paper. But you got to still plug in the right pieces. Like, Elijah Martin was ranked 133rd player in the transfer portal last year. Like, when you watch that guy play, does he look like the 133rd ranked transfer player in the country?
No.
Yeah, I mean, like, this guy was in a Final Four with FAU, was on the all-Final Four team, was on an all-region team, tough as a dog, gives you everything he has on the defensive end of the floor, can score on the other end consistently. And if you think back to some of our tougher games in the tournament, we struggled against UConn, especially in that first half. Who showed up? Elijah Martin, because he had been there before. You know, first half against Auburn, we're kind of feeling our way. Walt had a great game, of course. It was Elijah, too. Elijah played well, you know. And so I'm using him as an example because he gave us that toughness and that grit that we needed in the backcourt, whereas Chinyelo gave us that muscle, you know, that we were lacking in a defensive presence that we didn't have the year before. So all these things happen for a reason in terms of who and how we pick the players. But at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, the character of the guys.
How do you guys determine that, especially in the transfer portal and during that, you know, short window that you guys have?
We just talk a lot to the people that have been around them. You know, obviously, yeah, their agents are involved and so forth, but agents aren't on the ground floor with these kids. It's the head coaches or the assistant coaches, sometimes even the high school coaches, AU coaches. We're going all the way back to finding out what kind of character these guys have. And it matters to us, you know. And you'll hear a lot of times, you know, coach speak or certain cliches, you know, you got to have, you know, guys that have those great attitudes and so forth. No, we really sincerely mean that. We will pass on a really good talent in order to get the right fit for our program. You know, like, we waited after we lost Aberdeen this year. You know, we were able to, you know, find a guy that, you know, we really felt was that we were really comfortable with. Even though it was late, we stuck with it. You know, we developed a great bond, a great relationship with him, and we ended up getting Boogie, you know, late in the game. And so I think a lot of that, because our reputation preceded ourselves from getting Zion Pullen when we got Zion, you know, betting on Walt as a guy that can complement Zion, you know, and also play the point. You know, Will and Elijah, they come from mid-major programs. This is Xavion, mid-major program. So we have proof of concept now, and we feel really good about, you know, how we go about doing this thing, especially with the right people.
Were you guys surprised? Sorry to catch you kind of off guard here, switching subjects. Were you surprised when Denzel left, or
yeah,
in terms of your strategy? Yeah.
No, I mean, that was probably the one guy that we lost in our 3 years that didn't come down to just, you know, wanting to be here, because he did, you know. And so, you know, these things are going to happen, you know, in this day and age, unfortunately. Yeah. But obviously, we love him. We wish him nothing but the best. It was unbelievable getting a chance to spend time with him and see him at the White House.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know, blinked an eye. Matter of fact, Walter Clayton was like, bro, you got to come here to D.C. and celebrate this with us because you're such a huge part of it. The guy scored the last point in the national championship game. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you know, you'll never forget that. You'll always appreciate him and always respect what he did for our program.
You know,
I wish him the best, Carlin, but we don't wish the Kentucky Wildcats the best at all, my guy.
Hell no. No, we play him. Shoot, we're going to try to blitz him and get that ball out of his head.
Most importantly.
That's a great sound bite. I appreciate it. I wanted to just go. I'm glad you asked that, Corey. I wanted to ask, I mean, because that, I think, speaks a lot to the unselfishness of the team as a whole, right? I think throughout the season, I mean, I think the first – there was a point in time, and this stat's wrong, if you know it, but I think there was a point in time where you guys had played seven games and you had seven different leading scores of that game, or of, you know, each game. And so how do you guys get in a world where everybody's competing to get to that next level and everybody's trying to, you know, up the bag in NIL or get to the NBA or whatever that is, you know, how do you get them to buy into that unselfishness of, you know, being a team in a world where everything seems to be very individualistic?
Yeah, you try to get them to – the summer times are huge. So we just started our workouts today, very first workout, and we'll really wrap it up as the summer goes on. But we'll also be really cognizant of the fact that we got a lot of guys that are going to be playing a lot of minutes, so we got to, you know, make sure that we're being smart with their time on the floor. But it's the summertime, you know, that's where you get the bonding, that's where you know get the, you know, the sense of, you know, togetherness and so forth. Again, a lot of coaching, a lot of cliche talk, but it's real stuff. We would have these 7 a.m. workouts on Fridays to close the week. And Coach Lopez, Victor Lopez, our strength and conditioning coach, put us through all kinds of different stuff. Some of it was Navy SEAL training. Some of it was, you know, the beep test that they do in the NBA. Mm-hmm. All these different things. And, you know, you can see the camaraderie. You can see the togetherness of our guys just coming together. And I think also, like, you know, look at last year, we just had the perfect mix. Like, Walt is an alpha. And everybody was cool with him being that way. You know, we would have liked for Walt to take more shots, you know, but Walt sometimes, you know, kind of felt like, you know, I can't shoot all the balls. Well, you know, if you're open, yes, you can. You know, but the point is everybody was good with that. Everybody was good with Elijah, you know, being that dog. You know, he comes into our first workout in the summertime, and he's challenging dudes. He's calling guys out. So such and such, you got to go harder than that. You know, you got to pick your head up when we're doing. And coaches, you know, y'all got to get on us more. You know, so he's, you know, all about the accountability. Will Richard was the steadying piece and the voice. Not a lot of people know Will was the one that was, you know, doing a lot of the talking in the huddles and behind the scenes. And, you know, and again, our front court just kind of fit with everything. And, you know, it starts in the summer, you know, and it starts with, you know, making sure that guys understand, you know, like what their roles are. You know, we try to put it out there to them, you know, just in terms of, hey, you know, just do these things and you're going to have a chance to succeed, you know, and for most part last year, we did that and we did it in spades.
Just speaking of roles, how do you see Hawk? That's my guy, 10. How do you see his role expanding next year and his development, you know, progressing a little bit?
Tommy's awesome, man. That dude, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, there were times when I thought he was, you know, one of our top two or three guys, and for long stretches, quite frankly. You love him just as much as I love him, to be honest with you. When that joke was on the floor, I mean, like, he can do so many different things. His versatility offensively is obvious, you know. He puts you in situations where you got to, if you're a big, you got to come out, you got to guard him. You do that, now he's going to drive by you. Or he keeps you in the offense, him and Alex. That's one of the things, if you look at like how good we were, is because if we have an initial play call and it doesn't work, well, then we can just look to the middle of the floor and you know that Alex and Thomas are going to be there to be able to, you know, keep the action alive. And that just wears people down. Where Thomas's unbelievable value is, and people don't talk about this enough, is defensively, his versatility. He can switch 1 through 5 if need be. Confront the post, keep that thing out of there. He's an elite traffic rebounder. He's going in there against guys that are much bigger than him quite often than not, and he's always coming away with the ball. He's just a fantastic player. And when I saw him do his NBA combine stuff with his agency out in Los Angeles and what he's come back with, like, he's going to have a very special year. He's going to be playing a lot more perimeter for us on the wing this year than he has in years past, where he was pretty much right in the middle of the floor. So we're going to move him around quite a bit, take advantage of his size, post him up a little bit against smaller guys. We'll do a lot of different things for him, but he's a nice – he's an unbelievable chess piece to have.
Definitely.
What's your favorite stadium to play in besides the O-Dome?
Favorite stadium – to play in. We're talking obviously college basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you one. I had two in the Big 12. I'll give you one in the Big 12. Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's like one of the meccas of college basketball. And I'll give you another one here in the SEC. It's Auburn's Arena. That one is awesome. Like you got 9,000 or however many it seats. And it's like they're like literally the way the stadium is set up, it's like they're right on top of you. And you just you feel the tension. You feel like, you know, you're in for a long night every time you step foot on that floor.
Yeah, my guy Velo that partakes in our show. He went to the game when you guys played Auburn. He spoke well about that auditorium. What do you think about you're from a similar area as me, and ACC was king of basketball. SEC seemingly taking that crown a little bit in Florida, just like we did in football, led the way with Urban Meyer in that run. Ty Golden kind of kicked it off. Do you foresee the SEC being the king of basketball going forward?
I don't see why it would slow down at this point. I know it was unprecedented what we did last year. We had 14 out of 16 teams. But I don't know why that changes. I think we have some really, really great coaches in our league. Obviously, the resources in our league are great. A lot of it's because of football. We understand that. But the coaching in our league is phenomenal, fantastic. And the talent, you know, in the areas in which the SEC are. I mean, you're talking about cities like Atlanta. You know, now you can stretch our thing all the way out to Houston and Dallas, Miami, Orlando. I mean, all these different, you know, really good St. Louis, Kansas City, you know. As far as the SEC can go, you know, we can touch so many different states in this area, and I don't see why it changes. I really don't. Now, of course, you know, the Big Ten will have a lot to say of that because they can, you know, literally stretch across the country. But SEC basketball, I don't know why that's going to change, and it should be here to stay for a long time.
Perfect. Corey, you got any more questions before we let him get out?
Yeah, do you have any? It's my last one, man. Any comps for Cornelius Ingram, baby Ingram? What you have any player comps?
Oh, you're just gonna throw me right on the fire. Huh? I mean, shoot, I haven't really thought about this one. He just looks like, you know, one of those, you know, North Carolina wings that, you know. You see early on in their careers and then end up leaving early and going to play in the NBA for a long time. Maybe what would be a good comp for him? Because he's a great athlete, really good 3-and-D type guy. He's still working on some things offensively that we'll definitely be able to corral and be able to correct. Hey, you know what? You're going to have to hit me with that a little bit later on.
No, it's all good.
Something here in the next 5 seconds. But
now, you foresee him contributing as a freshman?
I think so. Yeah. You know, does everybody realize, you know, that this young man is only 17 years old?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be 18 until August. And he's a special talent. His athleticism is unmatched, and he's one of those quick twitch guys that if he like makes a mistake, he can recover like nobody else can. Now he's a talent. We're excited about him. We're excited about Lloyd, Alex mm-hmm. Lloyd, the mm-hmm. kid we got from Westminster. We'll start playing a lot more 5-on-5 next week. But Alex gives us, you know, a really big guard, another quick twitch athlete. Our athleticism is probably going to be even better moving forward in the backcourt. Mm-hmm. Now, what they're gonna lack is the experience that Walt, Will, and Elijah and Denzel brought to the table. But from an athletic standpoint, those dudes are gonna be pretty special. So
we had somebody in the chat drop Marvin Williams as a comp. I don't know enough about basketball.
Marvin Williams is a lot taller though, right?
That's what I was saying. Marvin was like 6'8". You know, yeah. I was like Kobe White, that plays for the Bulls. Is that his name, Kobe White?
Yeah, I'm not mad at that comp. I gotta see more of his game. I know he's working on his jumper. I seen him a clip on Twitter where he was ripping off a lot of threes, and I didn't know he had that type of jumper. So I see he's working on that part of his game.
If you had saw him last year, he was playing in the June live period for his high school. And a lot of times, like, you know, we go out recruiting, you know, we go and watch AU teams play all in one. And so that's cool, you know, because it's like an all-star, you know, team, and they're not really together throughout the whole year. So in June, we get a chance to go see these guys play, you know, for their high schools. And CJ was with his in Atlanta, and he was unbelievable. Corey, I'm talking about he was hitting from three. He was hitting in the mid-range, offensive rebounding, defensively, you know, just keeping the ball in front, blocking guys' shots, getting steals. And that's where you can kind of see, like, oh, man, this guy's got some, like, legit upside and some real talent that can help, you know, a program like ours. So we're fortunate that the guy was in our backyard.
Mm-hmm. A lot of and a son of a gator.
Yeah. He almost had no choice but to be a gator.
Speaking of shooting threes, there was a video that surfaced of Ruben wet behind the three. How many we think we're gonna put him back there and shoot up some threes this season?
Could you imagine, you know, Ruben trailing and letting that thing go while his man is in the paint waiting for him to come down there? Now, in all seriousness. Yeah, we're going to let him let that thing fly a little bit.
There you go.
If it's a right shot and if it's a step-in shot, I ain't going to sit there and say that we're going to start running like, you know, like staggers away for Ruben.
Set the screen for Ruben.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But if he's stepping in, he's pretty daggone good right now at it. You know?
Okay, so okay.
We actually had our shooting workout today. He shot it well again today. So, you know. No, I'll tell you one thing. Never discount Ruben Chinyelo. Man, that dude is unbelievable. Incredible. Incredible worker. Incredible attitude. I got him at halftime of the Final Four game against Auburn. Dude just came up and he just took another level in his play in the second half and wore Janai down. And it was beautiful to see.
It's incredible. Well, Carlin, man, we appreciate you for joining us today. It's an absolute pleasure getting to talk to you and Jonathan last week, man. Congratulations on everything. I didn't know you guys started actual practice today, so your time to celebrate is limited, man. But it's
I can get loud.
I tell people all the time, I'm not the world's biggest basketball fan. I was just bad at it growing up. But this was my favorite national championship just to watch, just because of how unselfish and just kind of how unexpected and how cool it was to watch a team come together, man. So, Carlin, we appreciate having you on the show, and hopefully we can get you guys on in the future and say hello to Portal God Todd for us.
We'll say hello to Todd. Corey, I'm going to have a better comp for you than for TJ next time we talk. I'm gonna work on it too. I'm gonna have better comps for everybody, so I'm gonna come prepared.
Okay.
Next time, throw out a guy. I'm gonna have a comp for him.
Nah, all good, man. I appreciate you for pulling up.
I got one for Thomas Hawk.
Tom
Gugliotta.
Tom Gugliotta. No, you know who I said, I caught some.
You're gonna say Karolinko, aren't you?
No, I got caught some flack for this, and you might think I'm crazy, but I think he's Dennis Rodman with a better offensive game.
Oh shoot. Okay, I'll take that.
And no tattoos. That ain't bad, right?
That ain't bad at all. Because he comes and he goes and flies and gets rebounds out of his area like nobody's
been. Yeah. He's going to scrap on defense. He's going to rebound. Like you say, he can switch 1 through 5. Like all of those attributes are things that Dennis just didn't have the offensive game. And he had a lot of shenanigans. You know, Tan's a little bit more chill, but I think it's a lot of like intangibles that he brings to the game, similar to Dennis Rodman.
Respect on that one. Okay. I'm going to get everybody else ready though.
All right.
We'll have you on soon. Thanks so much, Carl. Have a great night.
Hey, you guys have a good night. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, likewise, man.
Bye-bye. Carlin Hartman, always a pleasure to talk Gator hoops. And thanks so much to him and to Jonathan for joining last week. It's been really cool to get their inside basketball point of view.
Man, I'm excited about the basketball team, bro. They just retooled. You know, it should be another fun basketball season following a good football season is what I'm predicting, bro. Like the vibes is on the up and up, bro. But this basketball team is loaded.
Man, I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
We gotta be careful. We may turn into a basketball school. Billy gotta keep pace.
Yeah, I mean, you know, right now that's what we are. I mean, we're still celebrating, Corey. I got 44 more weeks of celebrating our national championship here. So We'll do a quick ad read for our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. Corey's got the Gator Boy cup. I got the old retro UF logo here on a cup. My best friend just bought one of these, and he loves it. So I encourage you to go buy a Game Time Sidekicks cup. GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code Stadium15 will get you 15% off of your order. You will be surprised how affordable they are. They'll keep your hot drinks hot, your cold drinks cold. So go check out GameTimeSidekicks.com. I don't drink from anything other than a Game Time Sidekicks cup. So GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code Stadium15. All right, you want to get into recruiting or you want to get into some other news first?
Let's get into some other news.
Okay, all right.
Like, why not?
Yeah, so the big piece of information came out. There's two big pieces that affect the University of Florida and the Florida Gators. So we'll talk about both of those. The first is we had talked about on this show, and we didn't even think that there was a possibility that it would get rejected, but the now former president of the University of Michigan, Dr. Santa Ono, was rejected by the Board of Governors. So he was unanimously approved by the Board of Trustees. He went to the Board of Governors last week on Wednesday, and he was, or pardon me, Tuesday, and he was voted against. You guys can form your own opinions on why he was voted against or not. This isn't the medium, and I'm not going to proselytize to you on the position that I have. You can go to my Twitter feed and you can look at that. It got a little crazy last Tuesday, but ultimately voted down 10-6. So he will not be the president of the University of Florida. He also had resigned his position at the University of Michigan. So he'll no longer be the president at the University of Michigan, which is first time in the Board of Governors 22-year history that he or that a president was voted down by the Board of Governors. So ultimately, the Gators are continuing on their search for a president. I did hear some interesting news this past weekend that Dr. Kent Fox, who is currently acting as the interim president, may not want to continue to act as the interim president for much longer. These searches take a long time. There's a lot of people involved. There's a lot of schedules that have to align. So Florida and Maury Hosani, who is the chair of the Board of Trustees for the University of Florida, are back to the drawing board. As you can imagine, the Board of Trustees for the University of Florida is very upset about this decision, and it looked to be a purely political decision on why he was rejected. So again, you are more than welcome to form your own opinions, whether you are pro or con. This isn't the medium to do so, but Dr. Santa Ono will not be the president of the University of Florida, and the Gators go back to the university goes back to the drawing board for that.
Unfortunately for us, man, because we got some things in house that we just got to get in order as a program. I think we'll click a little bit better with a lot of other things, you know, just business wise. But he seemed like a good hire, I would say, from a prestigious university like Michigan. Unfortunately for him, he stepped down from a solid job that he had up there, and then he's kind of trying to figure out things, but. Just for the University of Florida, I don't want to get into the politics. I didn't foresee anything. I didn't even know that was an option. So I'm learning. I didn't know that somebody could be like we go and hire somebody. They could be voted out. So this was a whole learning process for me, man. So I mean, I guess we're back at the drawing board of who's going to be that hire, because you need that hire in order just in case things don't go right in the fall, right?
Right.
We don't want to be in the same position where we can't or don't want to make moves at certain. Coaching spot if we don't have the house in order. So
correct.
It's an important hire. I was hoping that it was done. You know, no politics. I don't have an opinion either way.
Right. Yeah, no, my politics are pretty well noted on my Twitter feed. If you want to go check that out about this particular hire, I think that you had an opportunity. You know what? I'm just going to stop there. I said I wasn't going to proselytize on my opinions here. But no, Corey, you're right. Strategically, the University of Florida is caught in a very tough position right now. You have a number of, beyond athletics and beyond being able to make moves there, you do have a number of very key roles that are still open at the University of Florida that Dr. Kent Fox did not want to make as he resumed his interim role when Ben Sasse stepped down pretty abruptly last year. So Florida finds itself as a university in a very precarious situation trying to make these hires. Your academic schedules and academic calendars usually start on July 1st. A lot of presidents don't move mid-year. There's a lot of moving parts that go into this. Searches like this take a long time. They don't happen like hiring, a financial analyst for your firm or an executive assistant for your firm or the company that you work for. They take a long time. There's a lot of people involved. There's a lot of moving pieces. So Florida will have to move quickly, or at least they're going to have to move quickly, because I'm not sure if Dr. Fox is going to be there for a certain amount of time. He certainly is not necessarily given the sign off that he wants to be at UF in this role. As you remember, 30 months ago or so, he retired. And usually when people go into retirement, and he was still a professor at the university, when they go into retirement, they would want to stay retired. And I think Dr. Fox was one of those ones that does want to stay retired. So coming back, it's a large role with a lot of responsibility and a lot of time, right? A lot of evenings, a lot of early mornings. And so Florida, from a university perspective, needs a full-time president. From an athletics perspective, they need a full-time president, because a lot of the things that people are clamoring about will not happen. I will say that with 100% certainty, will not happen with an interim in charge, whether that's Dr. Fox or whether that's somebody else. So I think it's an important matter to discuss as we cover the University of Florida. And if you want to debate my personal thoughts on it, I'd be more than happy to debate with you.
My man Jaws got you. He'll debate you. Jaws will debate you all day.
Jaws will debate me. Shout out to Jaws. He will debate me till I'm blue in the face. You know, I think some of this stuff is better handled over DM, or certainly over maybe a phone call, than back and forth and quippy responses. So again, if you weren't following, you can read. There's a number of articles on all three sides of the aisle for Dr. Santaono. But Florida finds itself now again looking for a full-time president.
They don't find anybody else, bro. Just hit me up. I'll take it. I'll handle it. I'll be like a substitute teacher.
Okay. All right. All right. Yep. Get you an honorary doctorate, and you can call you be Dr. Knowles.
Yeah, I like that too.
I like that.
The NIL budget is going to go through the roof while I got this.
First order of business, Corey just sets up his office in the football only facility. He's like, we got some work to do here, boys.
Yes, sir.
We got some work. The other piece of news that affects the University of Florida, the NCAA settlement was approved on June 5th, allowing schools to begin directly paying players on July 1st. That is capped at a $20.5 million annual amount of money that they're allowed to pay in year one. That number certainly could go up. There are going to be some new roster rules. There's now a cap on the number of players on a roster. That number goes from 85 up to 105. How they're going to allocate that money, I don't know. Florida hasn't announced the plan. I don't know if they will announce the plan and what they intend to do there. But obviously, there are a lot of players and a lot of money to go around. There is going to be a clearinghouse that is going to be overseen by Deloitte. And they will be the approvers of a lot of these NIL deals. And they will determine whether they satisfy the terms of this settlement agreement. What I can tell you now is whatever we say today will likely be, not what we say, but whatever is talked about today on this show will be adjudicated in a court of law for the next few years. There is no shortage of lawsuits that are going to come out around this and relating to caps, probably relating to Deloitte, relating to how that money is divvied up. How is that fair for smaller schools compared to larger schools? How does that affect current NIL deals that are in place? How does that affect the NIL space as a whole? So important to know, it was a $2.8 billion settlement. So again, something to talk about, but again, probably not going to get too deep in the weeds here, because it will probably and likely change over the next, 12, 24, 36 months.
I think you're just getting back to like the cheating. Like once you start putting the cap on things, like okay, you got that cap. What's going to stop like the old school bags that's under the table? I think you're going to get right back to that type of, you're trying to even the playing grounds and to put, you know, some guardrails up a little bit. But I think you're going to get back to some of the old problems of whenever you got rules and you're dealing with recruiting, programs, teams, boosters are still going to try to find that edge. I think it's, I'm watching guys like Kirby Smart even enjoying like this type of like guardrails being put up. I think Bama's going to enjoy that because like, as you can look around, there's been a lot of parity. Like the NIL has brought some parity where Georgia isn't just grabbing all the top-notch guys. I think they had the NIL behind the scenes figured out before everybody, right? The Bamas of the world were moving and dropping bags, allegedly, you know, behind the scenes. I think once you put these salary caps up, these guardrails up, it's going to get back. It's not going to even the playing field. I think you'll have programs that can move stealth behind closed doors and do some things, you know, way beyond the caps that, you know, the NCAA is trying to set up. That's my take on the entire thing.
Yeah. Also important to mention, the NCAA is going to back pay almost $2.8 million to student athletes who competed from 2016 to present. I don't know how many athletes competed during that time, but I don't imagine that many will be cut a very large check there. The University of Florida has been preparing for this. This was a house settlement that was done last year. The Gators did hire Nick Polk from he was previously with the Atlanta Falcons. He's going to be in charge of the program's efforts with salary cap, roster management, revenue sharing, etc. So he will be the one that is overseeing this. Again, I don't know if Florida will ever announce, but that is certainly a plan that they're going to have to put together. And how do you divvy this money up and how do you do it fairly? And what does fair mean is going to be the in the eyes of the person probably receiving that money. So will this move forward by July 1st? Who knows? You know, there certainly could be a number of adjudicated cases during that time or stops or stays on what could potentially happen here. But again, July 1st, not many days from now, you could potentially see schools and universities paying college athletes.
I like it. It's, you know, it's some type of change. I think that's the what a real, I think next, the next big thing, once they get this kind of settled, is a players union of some sort, right? To try to advocate for the player side of benefits after football, during football, you know, retirements, like the NFL has National Players Association. There's going to be eventually some type of association for the players, for somebody to advocate on their behalf.
Yeah, there almost has to be at this point. And I'm curious with that, what is going to potentially change with this settlement agreement, or do you potentially deal with holdouts, right? What does it look like for health insurance? What does it look like for financial training and education? What does it mean for a lot of those additional things? What does it mean if you have a career-ending injury? And I know that there's insurance policies that are out there, not for everybody, but for, you know, some of your major players, you know, on lost career earnings if something happens or somebody gets hurt. So still a lot of things could happen now that they're getting paid directly by the schools. You know, what's the school's responsibility compared to just the athletic department, you know, and how do you do that if you have a separated athletic department from the university like UF has? So again, a lot of moving pieces here. I'm not an expert on the matter, but certainly something to read and take a look at if that is something of interest to you.
Alrighty.
Let's get into a couple more just inside information about the Gators. A lot of cool things happened. Let me just, I got to find it. I'll find it later. All right, let's get into recruiting. A lot's happened with recruiting at the University of Florida this weekend. Before we do that, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. We'll get you 15% off of your first order on that email address. So again, check out homefieldapparel.com. Anything that you could want, Florida Gators or any school, almost any school you can think of that you might have a loved one associated in your life. Father's Day is coming up on Saturday or Sunday, pardon me. So go treat your dad to a gift from Homefield Apparel. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. All one word, get you 15% off of your order. All right, let's go in. I believe I can do it. I'm just going to do it in order that I have it here. This wasn't necessarily the order in which they committed. But first player is Chancellor Campbell from Lakewood High School in St. Petersburg, Florida. He is in high school, 6 foot eight, 300.
Hey, real. There you go. Man, kill the audio and the video.
Oh, all right. I can't hear it on my end. My bad. Sorry, listeners. Chancellor Campbell, offensive tackle, Lakewood High School from St. Petersburg, Florida. 6 foot eight, 370 pounds. Oh, man,
he's pitching around Raiders. That's Glade Central he's playing. Don't do that. Don't play that clip.
Oh.
That's crazy. He's mauling people, too.
This is just what is where his huddle is, Corey. Sorry, you're
he's mauling people from my crib, bro. That's crazy. What? I like this kid. Like back to like the yeah. I love his the size, the athleticism, the offers. I know people get into the stars, and I'm just not gonna get caught up in that. I like the kid. Of course, we want the five stars, but I think this kid's gonna end up a top 200 kid at the end of the day. If you're watching his offer list, you got the Georgias of the world, the Bamas. The LSUs,
Ohio State, Penn State. Yeah, three.
Ohio State, Penn State. Like he's one of those guys, and he's got the athletic build to, you know, that you want to be able to keep these speed rushers, you know, off of the back of your quarterback. He's got all the tools in that aspect. So a good get, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Three-star, number 50 offensive tackle in the country, number 594 overall on the 247 composite. Like Corey mentioned, has some great offers, chose UF over Georgia, Ohio State, and Penn State. So I always say look at the schools that are recruiting him, not just where he has an offer from, but look at the schools that he's visiting, the schools that he's talking to, reading the articles when judging a player. You know, you still have an entire senior year left of football to play. So again, Chancellor Campbell, offensive tackle from Lakewood High School, commits to the Florida Gators over this past week. All right, let's get into
the recruiting next heating up now. All right, I know we've been chilling. This is not the biggest recruiting show, but it's definitely heating up. Is that it's Billy time? June, July, he gets busy, and then we'll vibe all the way until early signing day. But they definitely getting active. A lot of momentum on the trail.
Yeah, the next player that the Gators got, I'll pull up his huddle here in a second. Is Genervé Carr, did I get that right? Genvere?
I'm going to take your word for it, fam.
I'm doing my best here. Interior offensive lineman, IMG Academy, down there in Bradenton, Florida. He is ranked as the number 39 overall interior offensive lineman, the 437th overall player in the country. He is a three-star there. At IMG again, going into his senior year there. Corey, while I pull up the his huddle film here, what are your thoughts on him?
Mean streak is how you want your offensive guards. I like his attitude. I like mean guys that got a pull, you know what I'm saying? I just like his demeanor, the athleticism to be able to get to the second level, as you see, as he's pushing and bullying linebackers there. It's just that's how you want your offensive lineman. I think the offensive lineman recruiting is going really good. Don't get caught up in the stars. We're getting guys that are just going to be bullies in the trenches. If you watch his camps, whenever he's at a camp, there's a lot of attitude. That's you want that jalapeno, you know, that pouncy twin, like those, that type of energy is what you want from your offensive guard. He brings that energy for sure. Just got a mean streak. I like my guard. Nasty.
A great player, a guy that obviously plays some elite talent there at IMG Academy. They're going to play some of the best schools in the country. And so, you know, playing some of the best schools in the country puts them up against some great talent. I don't know if this is Lakeland But if it is, he's absolutely mauling.
Yeah, he's killing
whoever that is in that, that the white jersey, orange pants, black helmet. But obviously a huge guy, a guy that, you know, had some bigger offers as well. So again, I think plays with that mean streak you're talking about, probably has some technique things to work on, but you know, anybody that's 17 years old, that's, you know, that big is going to probably just be a mauler. He's certainly a guy that I think can make an impact. And this is, you know, a position.
Well, it's not Lakeland, according to Brandon.
Oh, it's not? Okay. Well, it looks like Lakeland, Brandon. Sorry. I didn't know you were an expert on high school football jerseys as well. So, right here? It looks like Lakeland. I think you can understand my confusion, right?
Yeah, it looks like.
But sure. Regardless, you know, a guy that you want to project 2-3 years from now. To be, you know, 3-4 years, pardon me, to play at the University of Florida. So, again, a great get for the Gators there and looking forward to seeing him join the program. The next one is Justin Williams from Buchholz High School in Gainesville, Florida, coming over as an athlete, played wide receiver, running back, played a lot of different positions. What was the stat here? Now I got to look up. What the stat was that we posted. Justin Williams was the first high school player since Devin Hester in the state of Florida to have over 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving in one season. So good company to be in. 6 foot, 190 pounds, the number 14 athlete in the country, number 193 overall. Chose Florida over Florida State and Kentucky. So
true just football player. Interesting. I got the board from some people close to the football program. And interestingly, I know they got him as a wide receiver commit. You look at his film, he's playing a little bit of everything. He'll get some wildcat, running back carries. He's also releasing that wide receiver running the route tree. So just a football player. As you can see, if you're watching the clip on YouTube, in between the tackles, he just gets busy and goes for like 70 yards, bro. Like, the verified speed is legit. But on the board that was sent to me, they had him on the running back board. So I'm interested to see how they use him once he gets to campus. But local kid, you know, these are one of the ones we're getting in June that I don't mind celebrating because he from Buchholz, you know, and I think he's going to stick around here a little bit. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, you know, I know Florida is – deep in the running back room right now. They got a lot of players in that running back room. You know, so we'll see where he plays. Obviously, he's a guy that I think can be a kicker punt returner as well. He's a guy that you can just get the ball. And so be curious to see, you know, I people here, the chat's funny because you have somebody saying, hey, he should be a running back. You have another guy saying, hey, he should be a wide receiver. And that's what I love about, you know, the chat.
I share with Dan the board that I received from somebody that's, you know,
that would know the board.
Right. I don't know the board, but it was interesting that they had him in on the running back board is all I'm saying. I know they got him as wide receiver commit, but the board I just asked for, because what we want to do on this show is hold the staff accountable to their board. I know the recruiting rankings, everybody has their, you know, oh, we're not top five. We didn't get this class, but you only can judge these guys by how they view talent, and they have boards set up for each position, you know, prioritized on who they want to get. But on the boards that was given to us, he's definitely on the wire on the running back board. So I just thought that was interesting, and he's getting a lot of running back touches as we look at the highlights. So he could be a guy that you could play either way. I know he likes, I think, the Clark kid, Duke Clark that they brought in from Tampa. He's to a similar mode where he can play running back, but he also can run the route tree. So that may be something they look for in every class, a running back class wide receiver that can do a little bit of both. Kid's nasty. I like his game.
That highlight right there is unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, he had to slow down, too, to get the ball. Obviously, those are the types of players that Florida wants, Florida needs. I think you've seen a lot about the way that Florida is going to run their offense. You're going to throw a lot of guys in motion. You're going to, you know, move guys around the field. And having the opportunity to play him at running back or to be able to run him out from that running back position into a wide receiver position, whatever it might be, that's the kind of guy that you want at the University of Florida. Keep the local kid local, obviously being recruited by some big programs. And this is a guy that I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't enter, you know, maybe one of the top 10 discussions about athlete around the country.
He's taking that thing like 95. He's got big run after big run from running back, bro. Like,
speaking of running backs, welcome Jordan Scarlett, brother.
What up, bro?
Oh, man, he's on mute. Uh-oh. We can't hear you, Jordan. Got to fix your mic real quick. So we got Justin Williams. That is commit number three. And then the Gators grabbed commit number four in Caden Hall. Caden Hall is 6'3", 200 pounds from Milton High School in Milton, Florida. He's a four-star, number 14 safety in the country, number 170 overall. Chose Florida over Florida State, Alabama, and Georgia. I'm going to try to find his full highlight reel. And with that, hopefully we get Jordan back. Jordan, you there? No, we can't hear you. Your mic's not on. Your mic's not connected. There you are.
Okay. Beautiful.
There he is.
It's crazy. Y'all bring me on as soon as Cardinal Newman's getting bombed. I'm watching on the high school highlights. That's the kid from Buchholz, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, y'all played them. That's right.
Yeah. That's the team in the gold. That's us.
I'm sorry to hear that, man. What are your thoughts? How'd you guys defend him? How'd you scout him?
He was a good kid. Obviously, you saw he had some highlights on us. The entire team, honestly, was very big, but I think that's a good get. Is if we can grab that kid and get him to come to Gainesville, I feel like he's going to be a star. And obviously, he's at home, feels like he's in Gainesville. So it'll be just a blessing for him to get that opportunity and show out there.
You like him more, receiver or running back?
I say receiver. I don't think he'll make it in between the tackles. If so, he'll probably be like a third down scat back type of deal. But, yeah, I don't think he'll be tough enough, especially in the SEC. I'm not knocking his toughness or anything. I'm just saying size-wise, like, it's
– Right.
It gets different at the next level. And the level after that, as far as just big D linemen falling on top of your 300-plus pounds, you don't want to put a good athlete like that under that type of stress. Kind of want to keep him in space and make him basically use all his skill sets where they need it, not all the tough running that he'll have to do as a running back.
Yeah, no, good analysis, man. Good analysis. Sorry your team was featured in the highlight reel. And Brandon let us know that was Coco that they were playing, not Lakeland. But it sure looks like Lakeland.
Similar colors.
Back to Caden Hall again, a four-star, number 14 safety in the country over Florida State, Alabama, and Georgia for offers. Here's his highlight reel. I couldn't find the full season, so this is just him against Gulf Breeze making some plays here. So it might not be as sexy of a highlight reel as some of the others, but it's just one game. But what are your thoughts on Caden Hall?
It's hard. I haven't watched him really play live. He breaks on the ball well as a safety as you're watching. I would like to see him. He breaks and tackles, but I would like to see him just be more of a ball hog. Just runs the alley well and run defense. He's playing a little nickel right here. Gets off of blocks pretty good. I think he's good in the physical aspect. I just want to see more coverage plays. Isn't playing on a great football team. You know, I don't like getting kids from losing programs. They won like two games last year, but athleticism when he's at camps and things in that setting, he shines in those settings. So the offers is there. He's one of the best safeties in the state, but his strong suit is coming downhill smacking, like running that alley, run support. I just want to see him over his senior year develop, you know, on the back end, being more of a ball hawk.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same. Yeah, my fault. I was about to say, I kind of feel the same way. And but I kind of like about him the physicality aspect of it because I feel like it's kind of hard to teach athletes aggression and a want and a knack to kind of hit and want to share blocks and make tackles and fill up the lanes like he was doing on his highlight tape. So if he got that in him already, I feel confident in our defensive back coaches knowing that they'll get him up to par as far as just coverage-wise goes, and he'll grow into that as he goes on. But looks like a great talent right there, man. He looked like he was playing some physical football.
For sure. You can't teach that one to put your face in a lawnmower blade.
Yeah, bro. You really can't. It's hard. Yeah. They can be as big and strong as they want to be.
The Gators, I'm just going to run through this a bit, just recruiting prediction machine. We've talked about it a lot on this show. We're not going to spend a ton of time on recruiting just because so much can change between June 9th and in the middle of December when these guys sign. But we're gonna obviously go over when players commit. But the recruiting prediction machine, you guys care a lot about that kind of stuff. So we're going to run through that real quick. Jerelyn McCoy, defensive lineman, 6'5", 245 pounds. Offers from Ole Miss, LSU, Texas, USC, kind of the who's who of schools. He is ranked as the number 163rd best player in the country, number 17 on the defensive line. He's gotten a ton of crystal balls or recruiting prediction machines his way. He did cancel an official visit to Texas. I think the Gators sit in a really good spot for Jerelyn McCoy. They got a recruiting prediction machine for Kakua Amua, a tight end, 6'6", 257 pounds, three-star player himself from IMG Academy, so Carr's a teammate. And let's see, there's a few others. Samarion Wingo.
Mm-hmm. Receiver.
Yep, Samarion Wingo, 6'3", 180 pounds. Florida is now the heavy favorite to land him from St. Augustine High School in St. Augustine, the number 25 overall receiver in the country. And then Carson Baker, this is a guy I know a lot of Gator fans are high on, 6'1", 195 pounds from Langston Hughes High School in Fairburn, Georgia. He's ranked as the number 18 running back in the country, the 227th best player in the country. His ranking gets down pretty drastically because 247 just has him ranked as a three-star. On three has him ranked as the 10th best running back in the country. So those are just a few names. There's other podcasts to listen to or other websites to look at if you want to follow recruiting a little bit more in-depthly.
Yeah, I like to just, as like we're doing, I want to, like, maybe next show go over the entire, like, board for the audiences just get a look of, you know, what they're trying to close on. And then we can judge them at the end of the cycle on their board, you know, what they like. But yeah, let's just keep, you know, plenty more visits on the way. June and July should be heating up for these guys. Official visits have looked great from a content perspective. This staff does a really good job of just every year coming up with innovative, creative ways to get these kids photo shoots, etc., content. So just shout out to them for making this an entertaining time for the kids. You know, they looking, you got to have the next and cool thing, like every cycle, to stay relevant, or you have Florida State just biting our whole set as Carson's out there on a visit and they got our entire, like, you know, vibe set up for theirs. But I think the staff is doing a good job. The official visits is sounding great. You know, these crystal balls are starting to flow in as these kids leave campus. They're having a good time. So just kudos to them. June and July, we should climb the rankings. I know we're not the highest, but don't get too carried away. We know this staff can recruit. Mm-hmm. We want to know if they can, you know, get us to the playoffs and win the big games, and we'll wait for that. But if they win, get us in the playoffs, everything's going to be everything.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They always say plagiarism is the most sincere form of flattery. So shout out to FSU's recruiting department for plagiarizing the best set in all of the recruiting business. It's absolutely bomb. It's like when you're like, hey, I'll give you the answers. Just like change the font, change the formatting a little bit. They're like, nope.
No, they put our name on the test and all. Like, they copied everything.
They had some Gator stuff in there. Like, wait a second.
Yeah.
They hit up Dave's Freshly Used. They're like, hey, you have any Florida State stuff?
Yeah. He actually got a Florida State partner out there that he partnered with. But
That's probably what they did. Cowards. But right now, Florida on three is ranked as the 25th best recruiting class in the country. They only have six commitments. A lot of the schools ahead of them have 18, 16. USC has 28 commitments, which is nuts to me. But
yeah, yep. Man, we all know what Lincoln Riley's about. Lincoln Riley's a front runner. I don't think he really wants to even coach that much longer. That class is going to fall apart, bro. Like, as soon as the games get played, I don't think it's going to completely hit. They got so many people, right? So even if they lose nine, they still got a lot of, like, that class, right? And the odds of you losing the entire class is crazy. But like, most of the top-end talent, teams are going to continue to recruit it. The negotiating of NIL bread really happens in November, you know, when that starts to heat up. So, yeah, Lincoln Riley is going to do what he does every year, piss the bed.
Yeah, Jay Kruhl was another official visitor. I know a lot of people saw his TikTok. That's just what the kids do, let them live.
No, the kids don't do what he do.
That boy was happy to be out there, man. I saw that. They was getting on him. I'm like, he just was enjoying the moment. Some people feel like they're too cool for the moment. Got to act a certain way. He said he decided to say, forget that.
Yeah.
What I always wanted to do as a kid. He let the little kid come out. I love to see it.
I yeah, still want him on my roster, so I don't. It don't really matter to me, bro.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Absolutely, 6'3", 230 pounds, also from IMG Academy. You know, Florida went a really long time without ever getting a guy from IMG. Billy Napier comes on staff, and all of a sudden, they're heavy in IMG. I mean, it helps that Chris Winkie isn't there, you know, guiding players to Florida State. But you know, again, obviously a great school to recruit talent from, and Florida's right in the mix for a lot of them. So we will have some recruiting content for you soon. Some more recruiting content for you soon.
For sure.
Make that phone call, Corey.
Yeah. I just shot him a text.
Okay, cool. So with that, I also want to give a congratulations to four Gators golfers, Ian Gilligan, Jack Turner, Matthew Kress, and Luke Poulter, who all, pardon me, earned ping. All-American honors, which is tied for the most in the nation. So men's golf ended up losing in their semifinal round, but congratulations to Ian Gilligan, Jack Turner, Matthew Kress, and Luke Poulter. All right, guys, that brings us towards the end of the show. Jordan, I know you just hopped on. Anything you want to talk about?
Probably hit all the points. I got faith in y'all, but nothing too much. I got left, man. I had a pretty chill weekend. I know y'all missed that part of it. This weekend, I'm going to Talladega. I'm joking. I'm going to Tallahassee to move up my girlfriend's little brother. So, I mean, my wife's little brother. Excuse me. Pretty chill. Yeah, she wouldn't like that. Hopefully, she ain't listening. She's not.
Corey, did you go down to orientation this weekend?
Orientation for us was about, was that last week? I think it was last week in the middle of the week. Yeah, we went down. It was pretty chill. Like, yeah. She did her thing, went through the process. We didn't do the whole little tour of whatever they had going on, but we was just around, just the campus, just hanging out. Me and the wife, bro, just we went and grabbed some Asian food right across the street and kind of just kicked it around campus, you know. No, the old young kids probably like, who are these old people hanging around the student hall just vibing? But yeah, man, she enrolls in like a week or so. So she's doing summer A and jumping right into the mix, bro. So I'm trying not to shed a tear when I drive back from Miami, brother.
Well, congratulations to her. Congratulations to your wife's younger brother for heading up to FSU. Jordan, with that, let's get one final shout out. Jordan, you get Song of the Week, so you came in at the right time. One last ad read for our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville. Anything that you could want for Father's Day, you know, start thinking for about the holiday time. It's always a good time to get your shopping done early. Go check out alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville. If you are buying for somebody that is not a Gator fan, but a fan of another SEC program, I believe they have every other SEC school as well. So go check out Alumni Hall. Let them know we sent you when you go.
I know what I got.
What?
Dan, are you going to invest in the new Ruiz meme coin?
No, I'm not. So John Ruiz announced today that he's creating a meme coin. It should be of no surprise to you. Grifters are always going to grift. He found an opportunity. He has said that Medicoin, again, not a word that you need to learn, remember, or anything else. It's not going to be worth anything if history tells us anything. But he let us know that it has a $50 million market cap, which is fascinating. There was some research. Thanks to everybody for tagging me in this research. Dave Soderquist over with High Top Sports said, and this is analysis done by the crypto industry, that said the Medicoin, cryptocurrency, despite its $50 million plus market valuation, lacks verifiable data on CoinCodex, where a market cap is absent, raising doubts about its legitimacy amid a 2025 surge in cryptocurrency scams. So do with your money with what you want, but as somebody that has lost their home in John Ruiz and his business ventures, this is not financial advice, but I would do your research before you invest in Medicoin, if that's something that you're interested in doing. But I think it's important to talk about that there is a new, as we always do on the show, we announce all of the crypto coins that have hit the market. This happens to just be one that hits a little closer to home than some others.
Oh, man, y'all boys crazy.
I've seen that come across my timeline. I had to tag Dan in. I was like, man, this is hilarious.
I appreciate it, because that was the first that I saw about it. So as somebody that has lost a lot, I would not encourage. But again, not financial advice. Jordan, what do you have for Song of the Week, my friend?
I think I'm going to rock out with, I think I found one hit on that album, man. You know, I had to try to find something for my boy. Something I like. I'm not saying it's a hit.
It was rough,
but it was definitely rough, man. You gotta keep playing it back. You know when you first hear an album and it goes through the first time and it's just not it. So I've been bumping it the last 2 days, and I think the song I
like—it's called "Brainwashing," Scarlett.
That's true, but you know what? I owe him that. He deserves the brainwashing. So I'm going with Cotton Candy featuring 2 Chainz. That's my song I like.
Nice.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed. Not a lot of fanfare around this Lil Wayne, the Carter 6 album release. As everybody that listens to the show knows that I've been a fan of Lil Wayne since Back That Ass Up came out. I think 13 or 14 years old with the Hot Boys. I've been a huge Lil Wayne fan, and this album was a little disappointing. Now, I don't listen to hip-hop the same way I used to, but I will say, of the albums that he's released, this is the one album that didn't get the second spin through. So I could give shout out to Jordan for continuing to put his ears through that to find the one song that he likes.
Well, when I'm at parties and stuff now, right, or like weddings, and Back That Ass Up comes on, and I see people my age start running to the dance floor. At first, I used to judge them like, man, what the hell are they doing? But when I think about it in hindsight, yeah, that was our era.
What was it?
A little nostalgic for like this demographic. The kids may need to just vibe out and chill. This is our James Brown, our Earth, Wind and Fire. You know what I'm saying?
Like, this is Back All That Monkeys, up. You know?
Yeah. When that beat dropped, doom, 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 it's a vibe.
Yeah, my dad loves Chicago. He'll never relate to Lil Wayne, you know, the way that I do, and that's mine. My mom's favorite group was the Monkees. You know, this is she loves them. We'll listen to them forever. Lil Wayne is that guy for me. I just hope the catalog doesn't include a lot of the Carter Six when we play that back.
You gotta stop naming them the Carters. I think it'd make it a little bit easier for me if he stopped naming them Carters, right?
Yeah, you put high expectations once the Carters are tested.
Yes. All right, enough music talk.
Well, we appreciate everybody for listening. Before you leave, if you're watching on X, please hit that share button. Let everybody know that they can rewatch this. Go visit our sponsors. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Before you leave, we appreciate Carlin Hartman for joining the show and talking about the UF basketball national championship and everything that he's done and the tutelage that he's provided. So, again, we appreciate you guys. We'll see you at the same corner, same time next week. And, yes, we are fairly certain Nick will be back next week. So, everybody have a great week, and we will see you soon. Go Gators.
Go Gators.